what do you think is the significance of choosing a girlfriend who is 18 years younger?
Significant to dad or significant to the 19-year-old daughter?
The daughter. What is the significance?
Talk about competition. Holy cow. Here I'm competing with another woman, but I'm competing with another me. And you're going to choose that person over me?
Right. That's different than if your 45-year-old dad hooks up with a 45-year-old woman.
A little bit. There's still the competition of time, but yes.
Right. For a 19-year-old, that's just two old people.
Right. Exactly. Ooh.
Ooh. Right. So the competition for time that you talk about that's already there is exacerbated by the fact that this person you chose is in my peer group almost.
Right.
It's one of my cohorts. And now I have to grapple with, what does that mean? Hey, this is Diane Dirks.
And I'm Rick Voiles.
We've been working with co-parents in conflict for more than two decades. We've taught classes, written books, counseled parents, empathized, and agonized a few times to help people make sense of their complicated families.
We were talking one day, and it occurred to us that helping the most difficult cases comes down to one simple concept. Is one parent willing to let go of the tug-of-war rope, or is it worth it to hold on and fight?
So we invite you to take this journey with us each episode as we tackle the questions, should you hold on or let it go? Welcome to Co-Parent Dilemmas, where we give you practical solutions to those impossible co-parents. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Diane.
How are you?
I'm doing well. My oldest daughter with her three kids, youngest just turned one. They've went on a Disney cruise this week.
Oh boy, now they're broke.
Now they're broke. And so here was the dilemma we were talking about before they left. They've got three children. The oldest is seven and the youngest is one, all in one cabin in a cruise. Now the good news is we get to dog sit. So we have the dog.
I was going
to
say, why didn't you go with them? Babysitters.
Then we could have split rooms. We could have had a couple of the kids sleep with us and a couple of kids sleep there.
I know I've probably told this story before, but I'll briefly say it again. That when my granddaughters were like 6, 7 years old, we went on a Disney trip to Disney World with their parents and the other set of grandparents, which was great fun. But we spent, you know, thousands of dollars. And then when we got back, I asked the oldest, what was your favorite part of Disney? And she said, the night that we stayed in your room, because we watched the girls one night while the parents went out, right? Mm-hmm. The night we stayed in your room and you let us jump on the bed. And I remember my husband just like got red in the face. What? That was your favorite part of Disney? Yeah. So parents beware, you might spend $5,000 to go to Disney only to find out what they really love was the popcorn.
Right.
And the movie night in your room. Right. So yeah, gotta love them.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, Rick, we've had several people reach out to us wanting us to know what the status is of the Right to Peace Foundation.
Yeah.
What the status is of the It's Criminal podcast. And all I can say is I don't know. We are discussing what is viable, what is affordable, because nothing happens without money, right? Mm. We have attempted to get stories for the It's Criminal podcast and have run into some roadblocks in that people, rightfully so, are worried about how their children might be affected by the parents' stories being aired. We also have found that our plea to have people go into their local courtrooms and observe cases so that we'd have that information fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you and I are continuing to have conversations, I'm starting to feel as if our audience really doesn't have the time and the resources to assist in us doing a expose podcast.
Right.
And that's not a criticism. We understand people have lives and they're focusing on their own survival. However, you and I don't have the ability to devote, you know, half of our lives to something like this without a team of people behind us. So
right.
We are still open to ideas. And I know half a dozen of you have filled out our Right to Peace Foundation JOT form and offered your help. And we've not gotten back to you because we haven't been able to put together a structure yet to know what that help would look like. So I would like to appeal to our listeners to send an email or voicemail. Tell us what your thoughts are about this. You know, the podcast world is very competitive, right? So putting a podcast out there, spending hours and lots of money on production doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a return on your investment.
Right.
Or even be reimbursed for the time and the resources that you invest. So it's not as simple as, yeah, let's just talk to some people and put a podcast out there and hope it goes well. It's got to be a quality production if it's going to go anywhere.
Sure.
And that takes time. That takes manpower, not only mine and yours, but also a production team. Mm-hmm. So that's an update that's not really an update in that it's not a dead idea, but it's getting close because
that's a life support.
I'm not sure that we have the support that we need to go forward is what I'm trying to say. So if it's something that you are very interested in doing, and we really are going to expose what's happening in the court system to educate more, we want to do that, but we have to have more of a team effort, I think is what I'm trying to say. So yeah. Especially if you are a judge or an attorney or even a therapist that are listening, if you are a professional and it's important to you that we have episodes, you know, maybe that we just don't do a whole new podcast, but we do something like we did on the Case from Hell, which was just explore a particular case and talk to professionals about it. I would be willing to do that again because that would be less production than a serial podcast as we were hoping to put together.
Right.
So I guess at this point, Rick, I'm just looking for additional feedback from others.
Yes. Yes. I think ideally we need a benefactor or an angel investor like on PBS, right? When they have that opening and they list this foundation and that foundation, we're a corporation that would,
right.
That would help us.
So until then, we'll keep talking about it, but for now, we're just going to keep doing Co-Parent Dilemmas.
Yes.
And thank you all for listening. That's amazing.
Indeed. All thank right. you.
Today, we're going to talk about something that I think we've talked about before, but we're going to put a different spin on it today. This is from Sean, and she writes in about her 19-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Who has suddenly, or not so suddenly, maybe gradually, had a division in her relationship with her father. Sean is very concerned about it. And the division has to do with the timing of dad starting a new relationship.
Yes.
And I think we've talked about this before from the perspective of how to help your child through something like that, right? You know, yeah. That the child needs to know that regardless of what the other parent has done, you know, they may feel abandoned and you have to be the parent who lets them know that they're worthy and whatever the other parent has done has nothing to do with them, has to do with their own issues. All of those things are very important. But I think today I would really like to talk to dads about this issue.
Yes.
So why don't you go ahead and read parts of her email, Rick, and we'll explore.
Yes. As the father of three daughters, I'm qualified to read this email.
All right. And to give your point of view.
Here, there we go. So yes, there's been a rift between 19-year-old daughter and dad. Now, Sean tells us that they've always had full access to their father. Even though they were divorced, they were within 10 minutes of each other. Things were good enough until recently. My ex-husband, who has always been extremely close with our daughter, has now created a divide between them that is hard for her to manage. It makes me very frustrated to see my daughter so confused as to why the man who she believed hung the moon all of a sudden finds no care of her feelings or even finds the time to spend with her. Some new dynamics are that he has lost his mother 2 years ago and a few short months later started a new relationship with someone 18 years younger than him. Our daughter is desperate for them to reconnect, but as a strong-willed young woman, refuses to apologize. As he did with me in our marriage, he is waiting for her to make things right when she has done nothing but had concerns about the changes in his behavior. Any help on how to assist her during this time would be appreciated.
So, number one, it feels a little bit like Sean is being triggered by this behavior because of that last sentence, as he did to me in our marriage.
Yeah.
So she is connecting with what's happening between the father and the daughter as similar or the same as what happened to you in your marriage. And I can tell you it's not.
It's not. But it is triggering. It's triggering, but it's right. Not the same. Yes.
No, it's not the same. You were spouses. This is a parent-child relationship. And how he treated you can't be superimposed upon how he's treating the daughter. Hey, listeners, we've got some exciting news. Starting March 6th, I'll be hosting Hump Day Help every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time via Zoom. Each Wednesday will be focused on a specific topic. The first Wednesdays of the month will focus on parental alienation. The second Wednesdays will focus on parents dealing with false allegations. The third Wednesdays will be about surviving a narcissistic co-parent. And fourth Wednesdays, confronting post-separation control and abuse. You can come to one or all. The only requirement is that you become a Patreon non-impossible VIP. The cost is only $10 a month, but I guarantee you'll get your money's worth out of these support groups. We'll run them through the end of May, and if attendance is constant, we'll continue through the summer. So get started today with Patreon. The link is in the show notes. So Rick, you're a dad. What do you think is happening here with dad who was once very close to this daughter? What do you think is happening?
Well, my experience in having gone through a divorce and with the three daughters is there was the fear of competition for time, that my girls would have to struggle and compete with anyone new in my life. And they did not feel that they should have to compete, that they should have more of me, if not all of me, since the divorce.
Right.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense, especially from a teenager's point of view. Now, the daughter is an adult now, 19, but it sounds like this has been a divorce for a while. So she was probably a teenager maybe when it happened. Mm-hmm. And the thought process of a teenage girl, and this is where I want to talk to dads, is, now that mom's out of the picture, I am next in line
right.
for all of dad's attention, right?
Especially one who hung the moon. Yeah.
Right. And if they were already close, then she feels like, okay, now there is no competition. and I think Sean said earlier, there is also a brother, 14-year-old brother, which is different. The father-son relationship is different than the father-daughter relationship. So she doesn't feel the competition or the same kind of competition probably with her brother. So it's just me and dad. I'm daddy's little girl. And mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to be. Now, what do you think is the significance of choosing a girlfriend who is 18 years younger?
Significant to dad or significant to the 19-year-old daughter?
The daughter. What is the significance?
Talk about competition. Holy cow. Here I'm competing with another woman, but I'm competing with another me. And you're going to choose that person over me?
Right. That's different than if your 45-year-old dad hooks up with a 45-year-old woman.
A little bit. There's still the competition of time, But yes. But,
right. For a 19-year-old, that's just two old people.
Right. Exactly. Ooh.
Ooh. Right. So the competition for time that you talk about that's already there is exacerbated by the fact that this person you chose is in my peer group almost.
Right.
It's one of my cohorts. And now I have to grapple with what does that mean? You know, and not to mention, if you marry that and then this is my stepmom, you know, and I'm not saying that can't be successful and it can be. And,
yeah,
you know, you might see that person more of a friend than a parenting figure. And that's all well and good because whatever works for that particular family. I just want dads to know the wrinkle that this creates in the child's, in the teenager's mind. Now he's got a 19-year-old. And I don't know, let's just assume dad is 45 to 50 years old. Someone 18 years his junior is going to be in that late 20s. I mean, it really is in the same decade as the daughter.
Yes. They like the same music.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just want dads to know that that's problematic and don't expect something to happen there that might not happen. And maybe be very mindful of the fact, I don't care how much dopamine and infatuation you're dealing with and all that, you've got to find time for your daughter if she's craving it. Now, I'm not real sure based on Sean's email whether the daughter is as desperate for dad at 19 as mom Correct. Thinks she is.
Right.
Or whether mom is more desperate for the daughter.
Right.
To yeah. have this relationship because mom didn't get it with dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit skeptical there. I'm wondering how much mom is projecting onto the daughter, her desperation, because I don't know, 19-year-old daughters, even though they have a close relationship with their parents, are usually all about their own lives now. And
very much. And
having
should
a hard
be.
Time. Yeah. Yeah. I'm having a hard time understanding a desperation of a 19-year-old to have a close relationship with dad. Unless she feels like she's losing him
right.
to this new love.
She's being replaced also. Right, well, yeah.
Which obviously is happening at some level where we wouldn't have gotten this email, right? So dad, be smart about this.
Oh my gosh.
I know
gosh.
This is feeding your ego to the yeah. hilt.
Yes.
But don't wait for your daughter to come to you to make it right. That's not how it works.
And, no. Yeah. And I would really want to chastise dad about that. I mean, yeah. this is, you're the adult here when demanding her to apologize is taking a power position that's not necessary, nor is it realistic. I mean,
right.
that's it. Yeah.
So he's seeing the daughter like he would see a spouse.
Yeah.
Seems to me, both of these parents are putting that daughter into some weird spousal relationship.
Well, I can see the dad sitting back. I have a right to be happy. And, you know, this is what yeah. I've chosen. And you all are just being unrealistic and unfair about my rights and not listening to anybody else in any kind of a healthy way at all. Dad may have some other big issues here. All along with his feelings or boundaries with respecting other people's feelings.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
definitely poor on his part to be behaving this way about expecting his 19-year-old to figure yeah. out how to.
And let's repair. Just say, for the sake of argument, the dad is self-focused. I'm not going to go as far to say narcissistic, but he could be, but he's ultra self-focused right now. And that is kind of causing him to prioritize his own mm-hmm. ego and his own feelings over his child. And he may be saying, well, she's an adult. She can handle it, whatever. It's not about whether they're an adult or not. It's about what is the relationship with her.
Yeah.
It's quite possible that prior to this new chick coming into his life, daughter had him on a pedestal.
Yep.
And that served his self-focus. And then he started dating this girl and the daughter started to criticize. And now he's putting the daughter in her place for pulling him down off the pedestal.
Right.
Very. Could be. That could be another dynamic happening. Now the daughter doesn't see me as she used to because this new relationship. So I'm just going to ignore her until she comes to me.
Yeah.
No.
No.
That's not.
You know, no.
I don't care how old your kids are. I'm always a parent.
Yes.
I will always do what a parent should do.
Right.
And not treat my kids like some weird friendship that, well, I'm just going to wait for them to reach out. That's not how it's supposed to go. And nor is that sending a message of unconditional love to your child that I'm the bigger person because I'm the parent. I'm wiser than you. I've got 20 years on you or whatever.
You're right.
I am going to still guide you and lead you in how these things work.
And I would turn to Sean and say the fact that the daughter has enough strength to be able to say, I am not going to apologize for having my feelings or expressing concern for you, Dad, indicates to me that she's doing a pretty good job navigating her relationship with her dad at 19. Yeah.
And mom, don't get in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, give her guidance if she asks, but don't try to manage this.
Only if she asks. Yes.
And you know, this is also similar to other issues with dads and teenage daughters that I've encountered in my career, in that, you know, oftentimes there's a divorce and you got a teenage daughter and all of a sudden mom and dad are living in separate places and maybe mom has primary custody and dad doesn't. And he's like wanting the 15-year-old to come to my apartment for the weekend. And she's like, I don't really want to do that. And they get all upset. They blame the mom. And why, you know, you need to make her come.
Right.
And for a teenage girl who has friends, and this could happen with boys too, but I've seen it a lot with girls. They have friends, they have activities, they have things going on. Why would I want to go hang out at some random apartment with my dad?
Yes.
For 3 days. And I find that oftentimes dad doesn't get that. They'll say, well, this is just wrong. And she needs to take care of our relationship. And no. And they need to be patient with that.
Yeah.
And I don't care what the court order says, how much time you get with a 15 or a 16-year-old, especially these older teenage girls, you need to say, hey, listen, when can we get together in your busy schedule?
Yes.
What would work for you? And what will happen, and what I've seen happen in these kinds of cases, is if you set it up that way, eventually the daughter is enjoying time with you because you're being chill about it.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're wanting to come to your place for the weekend, and they're wanting to bring their friends to your place for the weekend because you're the dad that feels safe.
Yes.
So I just want dads to understand what goes on in a teenage girl's mind, because I used to be a teenage girl. My parents weren't divorced, but I can only imagine my dad would have said, hey, come over to my one bedroom apartment for 3 days. I would have been like, yeah, okay. I'm going to do this instead. Because they're not thinking about court order and who's going to get in trouble. They're teenagers and they have lives and they have things going on. So I guess today I want to dedicate this episode to dads who are trying hard, but maybe don't understand the significance of what their daughters are going through, or what is important to them, or what they need.
Yeah.
And so if I were speaking to this 19-year-old's dad, I would say, geez, reach out to her, make her feel important. Don't be angry that she doesn't like this new relationship. Of course she doesn't. That makes perfect normal sense.
Yes, it does.
Completely. So don't make her feel like she's the outlier. She's not. You are the outlier. And I'm not saying that this relationship is wrong for you. It might be perfect for you. And that's all well and good. But this 19-year-old needs some of your care.
Yes.
And needs to feel like you unconditionally love her.
The irony of this is that, you know, the 19-year-old, in order to, because she values the relationship with dad, reaches out to dad for fear of maybe some break in the relationship or being rejected by him, which in turn he, in fact, rejects her.
Right.
Right. That's just dumb, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So go have a coffee with your daughter and talk this through. This is unnecessary pain right now.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, this was a good email from Sean, and I appreciate you sharing it with us. And you can email us at, we have a new email address, Rick. It is now dilemma@cpdilemmas.com. Does that make sense?
Yeah, just watch those S's. Dilemma.
Singular at cpdilemmas.com.
Dot com. Yes.
And email your dilemmas or questions and or praises. We like praises.
Oh, yes, please.
Or you can get on our website and leave us a voicemail. All
right. Perfect.
We will talk to everyone next week.
Yep. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Hey, listeners, you've probably heard Rick and I talk a lot about the Dragon Method of communicating with your co-parent, which is a step-by-step process to think about each conflict you have and to devise a plan to resolve it with or without your co-parent's cooperation. Many parents have told us this method, coupled with the structured email protocol, has saved their sanity. If you'd like to know more, check out our podcast companion journal called I Am Not Impossible, a 12-week journey to co-parenting peace. You can find it on Amazon in print or Kindle formats. Just click on the link in our show notes. The information contained in this podcast is generic. It must not be misconstrued as constituting legal or psychological advice. Decisions relevant to any specific individual, family system, or case require the direct evaluation of skilled, child-centered professionals.